Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, February the 8th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 35. In the third paragraph down, we told him what we knew, and we'll be studying that one paragraph only. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Kim T, The 12 Traditions, Terry H, and the readers of the text are Laura R, Brandy M, and Betsy H. And the share ID for yesterday's meeting, Sunday Special Edition, February 7th, is 16,354. That's 16354. And for this morning's meeting, February 8th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time, one is 16,358. That's 16358. And our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N. And our announcements person is Leslie M. at the end. And if you're a newcomer, please stay on the line till 10 till the hour and we'll get your names. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. That a vision for you? Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Kim T. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kim.
Hi, Kim T. from Northern Michigan, the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the compulsive overeaters and to practice all these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
And thank you, Kim T. Terry H. Oh, I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through God's grace, one day at a time. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA as our community
Terry?
Directly responsible for those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no option on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for letting me be of service today.
And thank you, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 35. The third paragraph down, we told him what we knew, and we were discussing that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Laura R. to start reading for us. Thank you, Laura.
Yeah, thank you, Mo. Good morning. Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. We told him what we knew of alcoholism and the answer we had found. He made a beginning. His family was reassembled, and he began to work as a salesman for a business he had lost through drinking. All went well for a time, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. To his consternation, he found himself drunk a half a dozen times in rapid succession. On each of these occasions, we worked with him, reviewing carefully what had happened. He agreed he was a real alcoholic and in serious condition. He knew he faced another trip to the asylum if he kept on. Moreover, he would lose his family, for whom he had deep affection. Woof. grateful to be here this morning. The beginning of the meeting was awesome, just hearing the gratitude, you know, and I'm so grateful to be a part of this fellowship, and so grateful that I am abstinent today and that I'm neutral. And, you know, I can relate, you know. First time I met a sponsor, she said that, you know, she just takes people through the Big Book. And, you know, we made a beginning, and we, you know, she told me what we knew of alcoholism, step one, and the answer that she had found, step two, and then we made a beginning, step three. And I continued to go on. But where did I stop? Where did I go wrong? I didn't, once I hit 10, 11, and 12, I was done. You know, I thought I had arrived. I didn't continue. One, because I also didn't really have a fellowship. I wasn't really developing relationships at that time. I didn't really know anyone. But two, I also didn't do continual 10 steps and I didn't go and get sponsees. And I relapsed, you know, or just started using again. And, you know, so yeah, relapsed. And it was a journey. It was 3 years until I finally could get this 1 year. And I am so incredibly grateful. He, you know, again, he began to work as a salesman for a business he had lost through drinking. If I owned a business and then had to become a salesman, oof, humbling. Like, you know, if I don't have God in the middle of that, I'm going to be a little sassy. You know, like seriously, it would be humbling, you know, to have to do that. And we see on the next page that he, you know, has a few words with the boss. Like, you know, he's just not in a great spiritual state. And I need God and more God if I'm going to continue to do the work. And what does it mean to fail to enlarge his spiritual life? It means going through 4 through 12. And I heard that, you know, the work isn't really 4 through 12. The work is working with others. That is when the work starts, like when I'm really carrying the message. And I do feel that, like being, you know, working with others, I just feel safe and secure. I feel like the 10-step promises. I'm in a place of neutrality, safe and protected. But I also do, you know, now what my program looks like is I do this stuff on a daily basis. I call my sponsor every day. I give her my nightly review. You know, I talk to 3 other people, if not more, a day minimum, because I need to talk to people that get my disease. And I'm constantly, I mean, in the morning, I do reading and writing, prayer, meditation, period. The first thing I do when I wake up in the morning. So it's, I feel safe and protected. And, but I've been there. I've been there with Jim. Really my issue is step one. I didn't put down everything until I could really put down all my food and my ingredients, my behaviors. I couldn't really get through the work and stay abstinent. So I'm grateful to be here. Can't wait to hear what everyone else has to say. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Laura R., for getting us started. I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're in the big book on page 35, the third paragraph down. We told him what we knew. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I will now open the lines up to those who'd like to share.
Mary Ellen T.
I got Mary Ellen T. Who was after her?
Donna B.
Donna B. Got Mary Ellen and Donna B. Who else?
Chris S.
Chris S.
Brandy M.
Brandy M.
Tamara.
Anybody else? Tamara. Got you, Tamara. One more?
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Okay, we'll stop there. That's 6. That's what I like. All right, here's who we have. Mary Ellen T. Donna B. Chris S., Brandy M., Tamara C., and Deborah G. Mary Ellen, you're up first. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Mary Ellen T., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater living in Oregon. And thank you for your service work this morning, Mo. I wanted the opportunity just to share a bit about my recovery journey, because I've been in OA for, you know, almost 3 years. And the majority of the time I've been in a Vision for You meeting rooms and have just felt so like I have been put in the right place and obviously at the right time in my life. And the recovery has just been such a great model, an extraordinary example of being able to apply these principles and these steps to how I live my life. But I was really struggling with being able to have entire abstinence. And, you know, I've just had multiple relapses in these past years and feeling so frustrated and demoralized by it because my relapses were never cool. You know, I put down the Kit Kat bars like some people have suggested, and, you know, but it was about me learning the extent and the depth and the breadth of my addiction. Like, I got it that, you know, the sugar and the processed wheat and the fats were a problem for me, but I didn't really, really fully grasp how much my disease is at bay. I mean, last year I was eating a stick of butter, and I just, you know, even though I was, you know, supposedly in recovery, you know, my disease wants to pop up and show and try to get control in all sorts of different ways. And so I've just had to really learn about surrender. And so when I hear these stories about multiple relapses and yet again, here are, you know, two people working with me as they are talking about in the big book, and how, you know, some sponsors have said, you know, I think you need to hear the message from someone else. And some sponsors have been kind enough just to continue to work with me and to really explore what is the depth of your powerlessness, Mary Ellen. And it's been a painful process. And I've tried to not be too shaming of myself about it, because, I mean, when it comes down to it, why did I do it? Well, I'm a compulsive overeater. That's why. But I think I really got it. I think I really understand that, you know, I'm on this train, and it's either driven by God or it's driven by this disease. It's but, you know, I don't get to really pilot the train, that's for sure. And so I've had some real beautiful experiences with surrender and being willing. That willingness has been just so pivotal, and I'm so grateful that higher powers really helped me out along that way, to have that willingness to continue to hear the message and to get guidance and direction from you all, because you all have just been an amazing source of example for me. And that's it for me. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Ellen T. Donna B., followed by Chris S. Donna B., spelt D-A-N-A.
Thank you, Mo. I appreciate that. And I am in Colorado. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic with a strangely spelled name. In more about alcoholism, this warning that Jim made a beginning, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life, and we learn about the consequences of that at the beginning of his journey. But I'm reminded that also in step 11, it tells me it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We're headed for trouble if we do, for in my case, food is a subtle foe. And to read step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So for me, where I am in my program of recovery, of course, it's important to remember that a newcomer needs to make a sincere and honest attempt to create a relationship with a power greater than him or herself. For me personally, it's important to be reminded that in order to remain abstinent, I have to be on that sincere and honest journey to draw closer to a higher power and to continuously seek God's will for me in order to maintain the abstinence that I have, and to enlarge my spiritual life. And I can say with sincerity that today I really want to enlarge my spiritual life. I want to draw closer to a power greater than myself, because more is constantly being revealed to me. And that concept that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success becomes more and more apparent as the time passes. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Chris S., followed by Brandy M. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, good morning. Chris S., compulsive overeater in Idaho. Thank you all so much for your service and for your shares today. I identified so strongly with everything that I've heard so far. I've been in the program a couple of years, actually 3 years to qualify, but I relapsed, and for the exact reasons in the reading, this idea of feeling like, well, I've got this licked, I'm under control, and you know, I started to blame other circumstances for it, like, well, it's the pandemic, or, oh, I'm on this new medication that lets me digest wheat without getting really ill, and all these things happen, but I'm like, no, I'm still in my disease. I thought I was smarter than my disease. I thought I was finished with recovery, and I honestly had stopped working the steps. I certainly wasn't carrying the message to others. I certainly wasn't trying to maintain conscious contact because I thought, well, I'm not overeating as much anymore, so I should be good. Let me focus on my business. Let me focus on whatever. And I realized that without recovery, without the meetings, without the reading, without sponsorship, without giving service, I don't really have anything at all. It's always balancing on the knife's edge. It's always one bite away from being back in the worst destructive behavior. And it's affected all of my aspects of my life now. Like I've been, you know, abstinent again for the past week, but I noticed that my energy levels were low and I was irritable and I'm, you know, just everything, my business, everything's been affected by it, but I was too self-absorbed to realize that. So I'm very thankful for these rooms, particularly during a time where we can't meet face-to-face as easily, and the reading. And, yeah, that's it for me. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Chris S. Brandy N., followed by Tamara C. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning. It's Brandy. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Alberta, Canada. So I can this is probably one of my favorite stories, the whiskey in the milk. You know, it's like, how many times did I set out to go to certain places with the idea that I would be okay? You know, I would, everything was going to be okay. And, you know, and then I would end up picking up and doing it again and again. And, you know, and I did this in program. I mean, I've been in program 28 years and I did this in program where, you know, I would work, I would put down the food, and I would work step one, well, not even really step one. I wouldn't work any steps pretty much. But I would expect, because I was in OA and I had, you know, kind of put down the food and, you know, I was kind of being a better person and, you know, everything was very half measured, that I should get the results in this, that I should be able to go anywhere, any place, do anything and not be tempted by the food. And that's just not the reality of my disease today. And, you know, part of it was I never accepted that I had a disease. I never looked at this as a disease. This wasn't serious to me, you know, and until, you know, that gift of desperation came where I was desperate and dying and willing to do anything, that's when I started to take it a little more serious, because I knew I was going to die. And so today, what does that look like for me? It's like, you know what, when I can go anywhere, but I have to continue day by day to have that connection with God and enhance my spiritual life. And, you know, do I go back and do a fourth step, right? Like, I mean, I've been abstinent entirely for over, well, almost a year and a half. And, you know, it's like, okay, so I still need to do the work myself. I work with others all the time. And stuff comes out in working with others because they'll bring up something and I'll be like, oh, wait, yeah, I never looked at that. You know, do I ignore those signs? Because that's God telling me that, hey, maybe you should look at this too. You know, do I ignore it and just say, oh, I'm good, I'm recovered? Or do I continue to do this work day in and day out? You know, and I've done several four steps through the year. I've done several, you know, nine-step amends that I held on to, but I'm always cleaning up my side because I can't let those emotions and those things build up. Otherwise, I will be face down in the food again. And, you know, I'm so grateful today that this program can look so many different ways for so many different people. And, you know, I found an answer in this book today because I've never had this kind of recovery. And you know, I just follow the precise directions. I don't add anything to the directions. Follow them and they work, you know. And what's great about them is if I'm following them, I'm always enhancing my spiritual life. I'm always connected with God. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
And perfect timing. Thank you, Brandy M. Tamara C., followed by Deborah G., and after Deborah, we're going to take some more names. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., gratefully recovered in California. The first sentence made me think, we told them what we knew of alcoholism and the answer we'd found, and I paused and asked myself, what do I know of my disease of compulsive eating? Well, what I've learned is I can't stop on my own power. And if I am stopped, I can't not start again on my own power. I just can't control it. I'm powerless. And then what's the answer that I've found? For me, the answer is a relationship with a higher power. And I have got that relationship and am growing that relationship through this program, through the step work. I like that later on in the paragraph says he agreed he was a real alcoholic and in a serious condition. And so I ask myself, am I a real compulsive eater? Absolutely, yes. Am I in a serious condition? Yes. Yes, my disease has caused me a great deal of pain and suffering. And it will take me back there if I fail to enlarge my spiritual life. It's a really awful, horrible, miserable place to be. And it talks about, you know, he would lose his family for whom he had a deep affection. And I have a lot to lose. God and this program have given me a life, you know, better than I thought possible, beyond my wildest dreams. And it keeps getting better. And I don't want to lose that. So today I choose to take the next spiritual action that keeps me in that relationship with my higher power. So it helped me to pause and ask, okay, Tamara, how do you enlarge your spiritual life today? What are you learning about that? And there's certainly the personal part of it, the prayer and meditation. That's really key for me. Set times of prayer and meditation, of reading, writing, listening, and all throughout the day, just trying to take my higher power with me, learning to pause and invite my higher power in, something I'm still developing. But also I'm learning that a really key part of enlarging my spiritual life is actually my connection with other fellows. I need to connect with those who are still suffering, and that does a couple of things for me. One, it helps me see what their higher power is doing for them. It reminds me of my step 1, 2, and 3 and keeps me working that step. And the other is it helps me see that my higher power can use me, and I can live a life that's satisfying and useful. And then connecting with recovered fellows, I learn so much. It keeps me learning, and I get the feedback that I need to redirect my thinking when my broken thinking is acting up. And I just really appreciate this fellowship that is helping me enlarge my spiritual life. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Tamara. Before I take Deborah G., let me remind everybody where we're at. On page 35, the third paragraph down, we told him what we knew, and I will be taking more names after Deborah. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everyone. Thank you, Mo, and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And thank you all for the shares this morning. Wow, they were just wonderful. Thanks for 12-stepping me this morning. And a couple things I thought about was the relapses that I had and how I wasn't willing to let go of this alcoholic food and surrender that and held on. And it wasn't until I got honest with myself that I was a compulsive overeater and that I couldn't have that food anymore because it was taking me to other foods, and stop believing the lie I was telling myself about that. And also giving that food the power rather than the power in step two. And it wasn't until I did that and then continuing with the rest of the steps to deepen my relationship with that power. You know, I love how I experienced that power today, you know, the love and the power of that power and the presence of that power. And, you know, going through the rest of the steps with that power. And also realizing that the most important thing is to continue to improve and deepen that relationship. And I'm in a step process right now. I'm on my fourth step and continuing to work on that with that power to see my beliefs and see the truth. And then I'm loving this experience of letting God be Deborah and letting Deborah be God, you know, so that I can be of service, whatever that power wants me to do. You know, like I was talking to my sponsor yesterday and I see defiance. I'm a defiant addict. I saw that was beautiful, being able to spiritual condition, see myself, see the things that I need to give to that power so that I can continue on in my abstinence and be of service to that power. And thank you all again so much.
Okay, thank you, Deborah G. And let me remind everybody that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since last Wednesday, please let others go first. So who would like to share?
Suri C.
Suri C?
Yes, thank you.
I got you, Suri. Thank you.
Marty J.
Marty J. Anyone else? The lines are open. Now's your opportunity. If you haven't shared for a while or have never shared, we'd love to hear from you.
Veronica B.
Veronica B. Okay, not hearing anybody, so we'll go with those three. I've got Suri C, Marty J, and Veronica B. Good morning, Suri.
Hi, this is Suri C from Connecticut. Still not recovered, but grateful, so grateful for these lines and for these paragraphs and for the way this program is run. All went well for a time, but minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. I needed a surgical intervention. In 2016, I had a sleeve, and it took me 13 months to get there, a whole bunch of hoops, and it was a whole bunch of action towards that. But you know what? They don't tell you that the effects of the surgery only last 2 years, and then you're in trouble, and you're on your own. And thank God that I learned about these rooms beforehand. I'm still not recovered. I'm going to stop and move it away from me and just say, share my experience, because this line has been my hope. This fellowship is my hope, because an expert in anxiety just shared recently that you're either spending your time in on a base level in either connection or disconnection. And it hurts to feel so connected and so loved and yet so low, when the knowledge is I've brought myself here. And so I numb myself out and I disconnect by chewing things that are really loud so I don't have to hear myself think. I don't have to hear how much God loves me and how miserable I am despite that. I don't have to hear myself say, wow, I can actually change my life. I can make a difference for myself. I can affect my own outcome. Because it's scary and it's terrifying to think that I have the power to, the little power. Okay, let me just stop. I just said I have the power. I don't have the power. God has the power. I need a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity because I am insane. And even while trying to share, I am sharing in my unrecovered state and talking about my power. Yeah, I know there are some voices on this line that I want to reach out to afterwards, and they are amazing, and I'm so grateful to them. And so I'm not recovered, but I'm desperate. Today I'm desperate because I am in a serious condition, and I thought I was spiritual before, but I was really just in my own power or my own understanding of that. And Sunday's editions and the 7 a.m. and the 8 a.m. where you could ask questions unabashedly because it's not recorded, and this line where there's just an honesty. I'm grateful for all your shares in my past. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Suri C., for your honesty. Marty J., followed by Veronica B., and then we'll have time for a few more. Good morning, Marty.
Hi, good morning. This is Marty from Torrance, California. Good to be with you all. what kind of poked out at me in this paragraph is I found myself drunk with food over and over and over, dozens, hundreds, thousands of times in rapid succession. That stuck out at me. Knowing that, you know, in my heart of heart, knowing that I'm an alcoholic, that not having sobriety with food has been the crux of, since as far back as I can remember. And I heard somebody else say they struggled thinking of it as a disease. And the first time I was in OA, a couple decades ago, I didn't think I had a disease. I thought it was just, I did the steps, I got a sponsor, I went on the speaking circuit and thought, hey, I've got this, got down to, as much of a goal weight as I could think it was, and, married, pregnant with my first baby, and okay, bye, everybody, I got this. Good luck. And, it took a couple decades of a lot of hard life to live and a lot of binges, a lot of drunkenness with food to bring me back into the rooms. And, right now, I would say how, carrying the message is so important to me because I'm so grateful for the things that I've learned and the sobriety that I do have and the recovery that I have. Through being a part of Vision, that's really shored up my program in a new way through COVID, and I was very grateful to be introduced to this group about a year ago. And it's just a day at a time because I still am reminded that underneath a very thin surface, I'm still a drunk. And when I carry the message this weekend to my brother-in-law, who this particular paragraph fits him to a T, and I can't do anything other than to share my experience with him and, fill in the blank on the word alcoholism for him. And, and that's the struggle is to carry the message to those who still suffer, but not to forget that I'm still suffering. And that I have to still put myself first, my program first, my recovery first, and that's what I'm striving to do a day at a time with a plan of action, a very simple structured plan of action, because my disease wants to not be structured and wants to get that monkey brain going and go all over the place and go right back to the old patterns of behavior. So I'm really grateful to be reminded of these things, and thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Marty J. Next up, we'll have Veronica B., and I will have time for 2 to 3 more shares after Veronica. Good morning, Veronica.
Hi, good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And good morning, everyone. Thank you.
What state are you from, Veronica?
San Monica, California.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. So I love where it says, all went well for a time, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And that's my experience. You know, I have been, I was 3 years sober in AA, and I was eating and throwing up in the rooms of AA. I was in meetings thinking about my next binge, where I was going to go to the drive-thru. I had no problem putting the drink down, but I had this unmanageability of being in the food, you know? And so the credits don't transfer, but the steady habits are helpful. So I surrendered and got a sponsor in Overeaters Anonymous, and I started to do the work in OA. And I had my spiritual awakening. And all went well for a long time. I felt so good. I felt so good. I felt like I was walking on water until I started to make decisions based on self. I started making really selfish decisions. And it started with one selfish decision at a time for me. And I started to, I stopped going to as many meetings. I stopped doing my journaling. I stopped being current with my sponsor because I thought I had it. And my work became more important. A relationship became more important. And when I stop being in the middle of OA, I start to get in self-will. And so, you know, eventually that led me to picking up the flour and the sugar. And let me tell you, when that started, it was like a monster had woken up inside of me. And my head would not stop the chatter, you know, until I had to just recommit to Overeaters Anonymous and start doing the work again and get back in the middle to get a connection with my God and a relationship with God. And I have to do everything today that I did in the beginning, you know, to continue to work with others, make the gratitude list, a lot of prayer, dear God letters, answer the phone when I don't want to answer the phone. See, I'm going to show up when I say I'm going to show up. And if I can't show up, like, get my commitment covered. You know, I have to live on a spiritual basis today. So I don't get to graduate here. I get to just do the work every single day. So thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Veronica B. And let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 35, the third paragraph down. We told him what we knew. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we have time for maybe 1 or 2 more.
Cynthia. Yes.
I got Cynthia. What was your last initial, Cynthia?
C.
C. And who was the other one, H?
Laura M.
Matt JF.
Oh, I got a Laura and a Matt. So I'll do Laura and Matt, and then that's all I can take, Matt JF. Okay. Cynthia, all rest of you mute your phones, please. Cynthia C, followed by Laura. Didn't get your last initial, Laura, but go ahead. Cynthia.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is Cynthia C from Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you for your service today, Mo, and thank you for everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. I didn't think I was going to share today, but the reading really spoke to me, and then people's shares really, really spoke to me. So, you know, I've been in recovery for over 3.5 years, and there's like nothing in my recovery that's perfect except that I don't ever touch my alcoholic foods. But I'm human, so everything else I do is very imperfect. And I'm accepting of that. My my mother, we found out on Friday that my mother is passing, and because it's COVID and she's in a nursing home, I saw her Friday for the first time after a year. And I come from a family that's hugely, hugely dysfunctional. And I'm the only one in recovery. And I said to my sponsor, and I said to people, you know, I have to make sure I'm really working my 11 steps, that I'm really building up my spiritual basis, that I need to spend about an hour every morning on my prayer and meditation and doing a self-inventory, you know. And yesterday morning I got up and I was tired, and I wanted a normal life. Like, I wanted to be like what I think other people are like, where they get up and they do something with their spouse first thing. And I didn't. And you know what? The days when I don't enlarge my spiritual program, I had a couple conflicts with people yesterday, you know, and I was a little sideswiped by that. And then this morning I've woken up and I'm exhausted. I was taking a vacation this week, and now my plans are all changed. And, you know, and I can see that, you know, I started not to do my 11th step, and I'm so grateful to get on this meeting, because if I don't do my 11th step today, then I am going to be in conflict with someone or something. And you know what, when I get off the meeting today, I am going, you know, God willing, my higher power will grant me the willingness to have me be able to focus on, you know, on my 11th step and on thinking about others. And this week is not the week that I wanted, and that resentment, I'm doing a lot of 10 steps on it, and I'm grateful today that I have programmed, that I have a resentment, that I wanted this week of vacation, and that's not what I'm getting. And you know, I have a program, and I'm grateful for that, and I feel sad that my family doesn't, and I don't have to go back into old patterns of behavior. So thank you so much for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Well, and thank you, Cynthia C. Laura, you're up next, followed by Matt JF, if we have time.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. What's your last initials, Laura?
Yep, hi, this is Laura M., recovered in Florida. It's been a long time since, I'm so happy to be here, since I've been able to get on a meeting. And when I've been doing my nightly reviews lately, and I answer that question, you know, what could I have done better? Lately, it's been just to be still. Because when I'm still, that's the space in which I'm able to expand my spirituality. And, you know, I understand, and we've spoken about this, that either, you know, I'm either living in the buck, my big buck, or I'm living in my disease. And I've heard the word disease be equated with dis-ease. And, you know, I've always had that understanding. But, you know, the more I'm still, the more I'm realizing it's not just like dis-ease of life, but it can be very specific for me. It could be, you know, dis-ease of my food, or dis-ease of a relationship, or, you know, dis-ease of my spirituality. And it's so true. Either I'm able to, you know, either I'm living in my program and expanding spiritually, or I'm not. And again, there's no middle of the road. And so in being still, that's helped. And in the past, of course, I was a chronic relapser. And it's just really interesting, this rapid succession, you know, whether that was a week or 2 weeks or 3 months, and then that firm resolve again. And, you know, that was disease in relationships. And, you know, it's really... It's a formula. It's clear-cut directions, you know, and when I'm following that on my daily basis, I'm free. It's really, how free do you want to be, you know? And the funny thing is, all I have to do is really be still, and then the next right thing presents itself, and it's usually picking up my big book, or picking up Emmett Fox, or making a phone call, or even journaling. So it was just so nice. I jumped on this meeting about 20 minutes ago, so I appreciate the shares that I've heard, and I'm glad that I was able to share. And you all have a wonderful day, and thanks, everyone, for being there. With that, I'll pass.
And yes, thank you, Laura M. from, I think you said, Florida.
Yes,
Matt,
ma'am.
JF, I'm sorry we don't have time for you today, as it is 1 minute to 10 of.
What page
so
did we
I
read?
Just want to thank,
sorry.
That's okay. Thank you, everyone, for your shares today. Maybe tomorrow, Matt. And I appreciate the team Monday, Kim T, Terry H, Laura R, Brandy M, Betsy H, and our newcomer greeter. So if you're a newcomer, stay on the line. Lorraine N, and our announcements person is Leslie M. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Brandy M to read a vision for you.
Good morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you safe until then.